My name is Damien Fenn, and it's a great pleasure having you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Almira Arielle Hilaire. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first PebbleYouShouldMeet.com call you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Almira a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners. Now, this is actually the second time that Almira has appeared on the People You Should Meet program, and the first time she actually came on the program, we had such a phenomenal response that I knew that I actually had to get her back as soon as I could on the program to really continue our first conversation. The other amazing thing about having Almira on the program is that my father, I guess he's been receiving these newsletters for quite a while, but in particular, when he's actually paid very close attention to when I've done calls with Almira, so just wanted to also just acknowledge my dad, who is in Melbourne, and send him lots of love and just let him know that it's great to have him on the call. Tonight we're exploring healing. Almira's had a fascinating insight into the whole process of healing. Like, she first of all qualified as a medical doctor before an intuitive impulse led her to actually exploring the whole field of healing. And she's done some amazing work over the past years in both fields, and it's a great pleasure to have the wisdom of both these disciplines on the call this evening. So with that, it's my great pleasure to welcome to the call my very good friend and dear guest, Almira. How are you doing now, Almira?
Good evening, Damien. Thank you for having me. I'm very good, thank you. And I want to say hello to everyone who's listening to this call and who will in the future.
Now, Almira, I just thought we'd actually start at the top by asking you, what exactly is healing?
Well, as you're probably aware, many, many books have been written about what is healing, but I'm going to try and summarize it. From my perspective, healing is, very simply put, the process of becoming more whole, more complete in ourselves. And I see it from the perspective that we are sparks of light. We are beings of immense potential, immense love, immense capacity for truth. But somehow, most of us carry little scars or wounds, which in a way hide that enormous potential that we all have, and makes us feel less than whole. So we might feel insecure, or we might feel not good enough, or we might feel frightened, or we might feel stuck, or indeed we might be unwell physically and mentally and emotionally. And so the idea of healing is basically removing those wounds, those scars, so that the sun can shine through, and we can be who we really are and express all our potential, all our gifts, all our talents, and enjoy our life to the full. So that's, in a nutshell, that's how I see healing. And the process of healing obviously is a little bit more complex than that. I think the very first thing about the process of healing is that one has to have a desire for it. Many times people come to me and then they say, oh, I'd love my husband to come, or I'd love to send my aunt to you. And I always say, well, that's very well, but they have to want to come. Because if you don't want to change, or if there isn't a desire inside for some improvement or some shift or something to change, then it doesn't happen. So that's the first thing I would say that's really important in healing. And then really is to understand that the removal of these layers that hide this, the sun from shining, really, the sun of who we are, it's a little bit like if you use the idea of an onion that has many layers, and you remove one layer, and then you remove another layer, and then you remove another layer. And I think sometimes people get discouraged by that there seems to be so many layers. to an issue or to a story. Like, for example, if I give a personal story, I had an eating disorder, which started when I was 14 years old. And in fact, it was probably the thing that got me on my healing journey and on my growth journey, because I wanted to become well again. And as I worked through the layers, at times it felt like I was never going to heal. It felt like a little bit like walking along a dark tunnel and you can't see the light at the end of it, and you're bumping into the walls and you're just wondering how long it's going to be before you come out the other end. And that's the process of healing. It's a bit like that. It's a little bit like you're walking blindfolded, but somehow there is an end to it. There is light at the end of the tunnel if you keep at it. And it's about keeping being present with what is required next in the moment, which I suppose is a kind of it's a good advice for all of life, isn't it? When you want to enjoy life, it's about being really present to what's happening now. And when you're present to what's happening now, then you can be present to what is needed next. And then the other thing that I want to say, like I've used the analogy of the onion, but the other thing about the path of healing is that it's not a straight line. Often people, and I've read some of the questions, I've read all the questions we received, and people are asking, you know, why is it I've spent all these years healing myself and I still have the same issues coming up? And the answer to that is that the path of healing is like a spiral. And so we go around the spiral once, and then when we are on the point of the spiral that's opposite where we were the last time that we had that issue will come up again. So if you're, for example, healing the issue of unworthiness, which is very common, I think nearly every human has some unworthiness, then you heal it the first time around, and then, you know, life might progress, and then maybe 6 months down the line something happens again. Like, I don't know, maybe a friend says something to you, or you lose a relationship, or you get treated badly at work or something like that, and then you will feel that energy again. Oh my God, I feel unworthy. Then you might do some healing, some work to heal that, and then again it might come up again a few months down the line. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you're progressing along the spiral. And what happens is, as you go up the spiral, the swings of the spiral get smaller and smaller. And so it tends to come around quicker and quicker. And often people get discouraged when an issue keeps coming back very strongly. And in a way, that's a good thing. That means you're coming to the end of it. And it's very important not to get discouraged at that time, not to stop. Because that often when the symptoms are the worst, it's kind of a healing crisis. It's about to break through. And the other sign that you're coming close to the healing of something is that you start to get a sense of humor about it. It's not so serious anymore. You can laugh about your issues. And that's a very good sign that you're coming through. But certainly personally, I can say that I've healed my eating disorder. It took me some time, but I firmly believe, from my own personal experience and the experience of working with other people, that pretty much everything can heal if we have the desire and if we keep at it. So that was a very long answer to your question, Damien.
That's a great answer, and there's so many different points I'd love to explore deeper. But I just sort of start with, brought up a really interesting point with the spiral, and how I guess they begin in these massive circles, and then as you move deeper and deeper into the spiral, these tests, like health challenges, actually become closer and closer, and it can actually feel quite tricky as you go deeper and deeper into healing or resolving the disturbance in the energy body.
Yeah.
And it sort of reminded me of the quote of night actually being darkest just before dawn.
That's it.
And I was just wondering, like, for people who may have been on the healing journey for a while that may be experiencing that kind of challenge where they feel like they're moving forward, but it is getting more and more challenging. How do you actually navigate that terrain and keep your spirits high and keep moving forward on that path?
I think it's good to have some kind of axis in your life, something that brings you back to yourself, whatever that is. You know, we all have different things that recenter us. You know, someone, it might be going sailing, that brings them back to themselves. Another person, it might be playing the guitar. Another person might be going and playing with their dog in the field. Another person, it might be gardening. It's good to have some kind of... it's good to know ourselves enough so that we know what's our axis, what brings me back. Like for me, when I'm going off track, I know that yoga and meditation will bring me back to myself. I know for some people that would be the most boring thing, but that's what works for me. So I think it's very important to have that. And when you can come back to yourself, then you can have, I suppose, enough objectivity to see the shifts. Because when we are in the middle of a healing process, you know, the mind has a tendency to focus on what's not working. Yeah, so we tend to focus on and say, oh, I'm still hurting here, or oh, my leg is still limping, or oh, I still have this issue, or whatever. And actually, sometimes it's good to think back on how you were maybe a year ago and see, you know, what has actually changed in a year. Because as you change, as you shift and heal an inner issue, your outer life has to shift. It's natural. Now, that can create changes in your friendships, your relationships, your work, where you live, your lifestyle, many things. But it's a good way of measuring, are you healing, are you shifting? Particularly friendships are a very good barometer of that. Because, you know, when you have around you a group of people that you can honestly say, I have deep, meaningful relationships, I feel supported, that is a sign of incredible health in your life. Yeah? Even though you might still, you know, have issues and other things, but the fact that there is this group of people where you experience connection and love and truth and honesty, that says a lot. So that would be one way, for example, of assessing how your life is shifting. Another way is, you know, do you feel happy? Do you feel happy in certain things? And I think happiness is a very... It's, you know, we're supposed to follow our bliss, put very simply. And it's always telling us, you know, our sense of happiness is always telling us what's good for us and what's not good for us. So, for example, I know that I don't do very well if I eat burgers and chips. You know, I feel terrible if I eat that. Not to say that it's bad food for everyone. It's just for me personally, it's not the right food. And, you know, I know when I've eaten something that's a balanced Ayurvedic meal, for example, I feel very balanced and happy in myself. So we have all these barometers within ourselves that are constantly telling us, are we going in the right direction or not? And it's really about paying attention to those signs. And then once you pay attention, then you can do something about it.
Absolutely, yeah. The other thing I was most interested in exploring with you as well, Amira, is that you've had the good fortune of sitting on both sides of the fence in terms of the traditional medical model and also the healing model. And I was just wondering if you could actually share some insights into the different approaches to wellness and how they differ.
Okay, well, it's a very big question, but I'm going to do my best with it. The first thing I want to say is I think that all doctors are doing their best. But from my perspective as a healer, I believe and I feel that the medical model is only working at the level of the physical. And a little bit more nowadays, also including emotional stress and things like that. But in a sense, it's quite, it's like only addressing one aspect of being a human. So, you know, some people come in with a pain in their stomach, and you just deal with the stomach, yeah? Whereas if someone with that pain in the stomach went to see a healer, they would be, of course, maybe advised to change their diet or take some herbs that would heal the stomach lining. But they might also be taken into account that their chakra, which is an energy center in the stomach, in the belly area, their chakra might be disturbed. Or there might be another healing approach might be to look at the meridians, the traditional Chinese meridians, saying there might be a disturbance in some of the meridians that are affecting the stomach organ. And then going even deeper, you know, looking at also the emotional causes at why would someone have a stomach pain. And, you know, elucidating those issues and working with them to clear them. So from my perspective, the healing approach is more holistic. It's looking at the person as a whole in terms of how they are emotionally, how they are in the world, how they are with people, how they are with themselves, how they are with their food, their exercise, and so on and so forth. Whereas the medical model is more just restricted to that, to a more limited view. But both are extremely necessary. And for example, if someone is having a heart attack, I wouldn't recommend healing. I would recommend going to casualty.
Yeah.
Healing would be good afterwards, but not in the emergency. And the same for a broken leg.
That's a very important distinction to make as well. And how to be aware of when which model is I guess of most service or most use. I guess like any kind of dogmatic thought on either side could actually present its own challenges, but being open and receptive to whatever needs to happen in a particular moment, you know, sounds good just to be aware of what's out there on both sides of the coin.
Yeah, both are completely necessary and wonderful. It was just for me personally, I loved medicine and I loved being a doctor, but I wanted to expand because I was very interested in the energy side of things and the emotional and spiritual side. And that's where I wanted to expand into.
But there's something, I guess there are many people listening on the call who may be interested in either commencing a healing journey or taking the next step on the healing journey. I was just wondering if you could actually share where someone would actually start if they did want to embark on this kind of path of exploration.
I think, like I said earlier on, the first thing is to have desire. And then the next thing is to follow your heart. So go where what feels right. Often the heart is the wisest part of us. And so go with what feels right. So if you feel drawn to doing a particular course or attending a seminar or seeing a particular healer, go with that. But also sometimes healing it can happen in your lifestyle. So maybe something that would heal you would be, discovering the hobby that you've always dreamed of doing but never had the time to do it. That might be part of the healing journey. Allowing yourself to have the love of your life in your life instead of the mediocre relationship that's not really fulfilling you. So, in many ways, moving on into the healing journey is really about taking a leap of faith into yourself, into loving yourself, into an adventure with yourself. And I think it's never too late. Never ever too late, because it's never too late to enjoy life. It's never too late to live life to the full. It's never too late to live your dreams. And as I said earlier on, those clouds are hiding the sun. So when the clouds are there, we're not fully shining, we're not fully ourselves, we're not fully happy. And we, of course, we feel that. Now, I do want to say something else about that, is that often the way we are educated and brought up is we have internally, all of us, some inner shame, which is mostly under the surface. Or we might feel it a little bit now and again, like a feeling of, oh, not being quite good enough, or feeling like you're letting people down. But inside we all have a certain amount of shame. And that can be a deterrent to embarking on the healing journey. It's like a feeling that if I really look at myself, I might discover that really deep down I'm a terrible person, and that there is nothing good about me. And I think that that's a kind of a subconscious fear that many people have, which blocks them from embarking on that journey of self-discovery and self-healing. And I just want to say, and this is why I started the chat tonight with saying, we are all so amazingly beautiful and powerful and gifted, that yes, we may have feelings of not being good, and we may have feelings of being a terrible person and being unworthy and also so on and so forth, but inside there is a diamond. I'm absolutely sure of it. I've seen it in so many people come through. And so, in a way, embarking on that journey is really like a leap of faith. You have to kind of jump off your comfort zone, which isn't really a comfort zone, because usually you're uncomfortable. If there's a desire to heal, it's because there's some discomfort. Either it's physical discomfort, that you have some kind of disease or condition, or else it's some kind of emotional discomfort, that life feels not quite right, or else you feel stuck, or, you know, life isn't giving what you want out of it, what you've dreamed. It's not fulfilling. So there's some kind of discomfort, and that discomfort can be a catalyst to jump off into the unknown. And of course it's always scary. We, naturally, as humans, we are afraid of change. But when we embark on that healing journey and follow the heart, it brings amazing gifts. And every time we peel a layer, going back to my onion analogy, every time we peel a layer, what happens is the more energy gets unleashed. It's like more of the rays of the sun can shine through the clouds. And so we feel it in our life. We feel more energized, we feel more enthusiastic, we feel more creative, we have lots of ideas, relationships happen better, life feels great, life feels better. Yeah. Of course, it's not a straight line, as I said, there are ups and downs even within that process. But yes, does that answer your question? Damien, I'm sure I've gone off track completely.
fantastic points in there as well. Now, Elmira, I just wanted to actually explore, over the past little while, you've been channeling and developing a system of healing called Divine Healing Master Key. And I was just wondering if you could actually share with people what exactly that is, and how did that... The process actually begins for actually developing and bringing this system into being.
Yes, I'd love to share about that. Basically, all my life I have been wanting to empower people. That is, to teach people to help themselves. Because I firmly believe that that's where the greatest gifts come is when you empower yourself. And so, even as a doctor, I was always trying to, you know, teach my clients, my patients about their symptoms so that they would know how to look after their bodies and when to come to me and when not to bother. And as a healer, I've always wanted to do that, to empower people to heal themselves. And a few years ago, I learned a fantastic technique called rapid healing from a wonderful teacher, Margaret Ruby, in the States. And I wanted to become a teacher of rapid healing here in the UK. But unfortunately, when I approached Margaret about doing the training, it wasn't possible for me to do it because of my lifestyle of being a mom and having a child and so on. So it didn't happen. But part of me, I suppose, got very inspired by the rapid healing teaching that I learned. And I also had two other friends who had also done Margaret's training and who were also healers. And we kind of got together, and from there, divine healing came through. And basically, Divine Healing Master Key, it was like a kind of an answer to our prayer. We'd been, I think all three of us had been asking for a tool that we could teach our clients and students, and they could heal themselves. And that's how it came through. And it's a very simple method. And there is a manual, and the manual helps you to find out, to pinpoint what it is that needs clearing. So it might be an emotion that needs clearing, or it might be a toxin in the body that's been there since, you know, you were little and you had antibiotics, or it might be something that you're carrying from your ancestors, or there are many, many things, many layers of things that can be part of the block, if you like. And then once you've identified what it is, then you simply ask that it clears. So with Divine Healing Master Key, we're working with the higher self, which is like the higher aspect of someone. And also we're working with higher beings, like angelics and masters. And that's why it's called divine healing, because it's healing coming from the divine, something that's not earthly. And so we simply ask, for example, we might ask that the hydration in the body, like all the water in the body, be balanced. And from that simple asking, then it happens. So it's based on the concept that you ask and you receive. And that's how it works, and it's so simple. And because it's so simple, anyone can learn it, and everyone can use it. So, for me, it's been the gift that I've wanted all these years. And the wonderful thing, and I know it's working, is because the people who used to come to me for healing, once they learn the Divine Healing Master Key, they're not coming to me anymore. So I know they're doing their own healing. So I'm putting myself out of a job.
Great, Amira. Well, we had, as I mentioned earlier on, we've had questions coming from all around the world, and I just thought I'd start by asking you some of them now. And I'm actually going to start with Yuzianne in France, who asks, is sickness a part of karma, and does healing take place when one has learnt their lesson? How then does one take this as a form of spiritual enlightenment and learn to live with this?
Okay, so this is going a little more cosmic, in terms of the path of enlightenment or the path of growth. And if we see that who we are is more than just what we are now, in the sense of having a physical body and an energy body and having emotions and thoughts, and if we see ourselves more also as having a part of us that is timeless, that doesn't die, so then introducing the concept of a soul that doesn't die and that reincarnates from life to life, that's how I think I would answer this question. So the concept here is that the soul is evolving from one lifetime to another. And how we evolve is through lessons. So we might take on a lesson in this lifetime around disempowerment. And the lesson is to come into power. So then there would be issues around the life, around being disempowered, which is usually abuse, some kind of abuse. So it could be child sexual abuse, or it could be emotional abuse, or it could be physical abuse, it could be all types of abuse. And ultimately it's about growing into a place of being able to say no to that abuse. So finding a boundary and trusting oneself enough to saying no to that abuse, and instead turning the energy around to self-love. So I would say that if we think of karma as the lesson that the soul is learning from one lifetime to another, then we could also say that sickness is linked to those lessons, because if we do not learn the lesson, for example, someone with sexual abuse might manifest some disturbances in the sexual organs. Then yes, the disturbance or the sickness, if you like, is linked to that lesson. And when you learn the lesson of actually, I'm going to say no, and I'm going to turn the abuse into love, then that's the lesson, actually. And so when the lesson is learned, healing does happen spontaneously. And so, yes, I agree with you, Josiane, that healing will happen when we learn the lesson. But the lesson...
in terms of the, like, going back to the spiral, I guess. The unraveling of different layers of that lesson. Is that what's going on there? Or?
Yes, it's the unraveling of different layers, and it's also about keeping following the path of the soul. Where is the soul wanting to go? And that's also what I wanted to say, that the healing is not just about unlayering those layers of pain or trauma or whatever it is, but it's also about following your juice, following your passion. You know, what makes your heart sing? Are you happy in your job, or are you dying a slow death? And in a way, saying yes to healing, saying yes to love, is also saying yes to yourself in everything. Are you happy in your work? Are you happy in your relationships? Are you happy? Are you eating what you love? You know, everything. Are you listening to music that you love? Everything like that.
Because you do often hear of accounts of people who get a shock or a near-death experience or some kind of illness in the body, that use that as a springboard to really explore their deep loves and passions, and often through just exploring the... For example, the desire to play piano that's always been there, that's never been addressed. Often that in itself can cause or inspire spontaneous healing episodes.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
A great fascination.
Yeah. And that is where, you know, like for, we talked about the Divine Healing Master Key. The Divine Healing Master Key is about peeling the layers. But the other aspect of healing is really about following where your heart is singing. What makes your heart sing? What makes you happy and joyful? Yeah. And then, of course, we need to have the courage to do that as well. To jump off into pleasure. Jump off into joy.
Yeah. Courage isn't emerging all the way through the call. It's great. Okay, this is a question from Susie in the United Kingdom, and Susie asks, my mother, aged 84, keeps collapsing. She's becoming blind and she's finding it difficult to walk. Is this all her choice, or do I have the right to interfere and try and help heal her?
Well, that's a very good question, Susie. At one level, we could say that your mother is choosing that, as we talked earlier on about the soul's journey and how the soul is learning through its experiences. However, because Susie is her daughter and is feeling obviously compassion and wanting to heal, it is possible that that she can heal her mother. And the way of finding that out is simply by asking her mother's higher self. So the way you do that is you maybe close your eyes and obviously be in a quiet space, and with intention ask the higher self of the person that you would like to heal, would it be appropriate to do some healing for them? And the answer will come. There will be a yes or a no. If you're an auditory person, you may hear yes or no in your head. If you're visual, you may see the person in your mind's eye, and they may be saying yes or smiling or nodding, or they may be going no or walking away or something like that, some gesture that is indicating a no. And if you're a more kinesthetic type person, in the sense that you feel things in your body, you will feel a yes as a kind of expansion or a warm, fuzzy feeling in your body. And you will feel a no as a kind of a contraction, like a tightness or a cold feeling. So the answer comes if you just ask. And then if you get a yes, then obviously you can send that person healing. I've had that experience of trying that, and most of the time I get yes, but now and again I get a no. So I've learned to always ask, because extraordinarily it may not always be appropriate, the healing.
Mm. And is it possible that you might get a no to begin with, that answer may change?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Because I think sometimes when we are wanting to heal someone, it's, despite our best intentions, sometimes it's because we don't want to hurt by seeing them hurting. And of course, that's going to get in the way of the healing when we're attached to the outcome. So by being as non-attached as possible, then there is more space for healing to happen in a more clear way. And of course, when a parent is involved, it's not so easy to be non-attached, because we're so emotionally connected.
Mm. Cool. Great. It's a fantastic question and a great answer as well. Now, this question actually comes from Phil, who is in Sweden, and Phil asks, Dear Amira, do you think it is true that going vegetarian or vegan is the way to prevent blocked arteries and many diseases? How much do you think belief plays a part? For example, if I believe eating feels right, even if it's meat and dairy, will this keep me healthy? Then is this going to work?
Well, I think it's a fantastic question, Phil, and it raises many issues. I might get myself into deep trouble by answering this question. I think you're on the right track, Phil, about belief, that our belief has a lot to do with our reality. And if we believe something, then it happens. The slight snag about that is that we have lots and lots of subconscious beliefs that we're not aware of, subconscious and unconscious. So there might be a surface belief of, I'm great, I'm a great person, which is a very healthy belief. But deep down, when you do a little bit of digging, there might be some beliefs around, I'm not good enough, or I'm a failure, things like that. So, yes, belief is great, but unfortunately we're not in well, most of us anyway, unless they're very, very enlightened humans, are not completely aware of every single belief that we have. In terms of vegetarianism versus and veganism versus eating everything, I think I don't want to get my feet too dirty here, but I believe that, you know, there is a right diet for everyone, and a lot of it has got to do with your body type. And some people need heavier food, and some people need lighter food. And also, it depends a lot on your lifestyle. If you're someone who's working out in the fields, you know, 6 hours a day with hard work, you're going to need a heavier diet than someone who's sitting at a desk all day. But also, there are certain periods in your life where you might need heavier food. Like, for example, when a woman is pregnant or nursing a baby, it's a time when you need a lot of rich food to keep the body nourished and sustained and to be able to feed that baby well. So I'm afraid there's no black and white answer here. It's all very gray. A lot of it's got to do with what feels right to your body and really tuning in, does this feel right? And I think with regards to diet, it's a very individual thing. You know, what is the right diet for each person? There is no recipe that I would say would be right for everyone. Everyone has to explore what is their right diet according to their lifestyle. And as well, that diet might change. You know, in certain periods of your life, for example, you might want to go vegan for a while if you're doing a lot of cleansing. And then that might change. You might want to do something different. So it's good to tune in and go with the flow and not be rigid. I know you had an exploration with being raw, didn't you, Damien?
Yeah. It's been interesting. My own personal journey, just experimenting with lots of different things. But I think, like, I really love what you said about it being shades of grey and just being comfortable exploring all the different shades. And I guess sometimes the human mind can just really desire a black and white answer when often there's many answers that can be explored. But I guess using that the process of just constantly tuning back in is absolutely invaluable for people.
Yeah, it's. I think we all need to learn to do that, to really be in tune with ourselves. And with regards to food, unfortunately, because most of us got force-fed a little bit as children, you know, we were encouraged to finish our food, then that creates a kind of a numbness and we can't feel anymore what's right and not right. And, you know, going vegetarian or vegan for a few years might help to reset the clock, if you like, or reset the body until you can feel, ah, okay.
Cool. That's an excellent question, Phil, and great answer, Amira. Now, this question comes from Nora, who's in the United Kingdom. And Nora asks, I've tried so many different healing techniques, and they have helped me to a certain extent, and as soon as I started to feel better, something else would come up, something even bigger and more painful to heal. Over the past 10 years, I've had Reiki, NLP, breathing therapy, universal energy healing, EFT, timeline therapy, and have also trained as a theta healing practitioner, and got better, and they got even worse than before. So I am now looking for another healing technique to get me out of my misery. It just seems never ending. What am I doing wrong?
Okay, the first thing I want to say is you're doing nothing wrong, Nora. For some of us, it seems that some souls have contracts to heal. Not just themselves, but to heal maybe their ancestors also, or to heal like a soul group or part of human consciousness. And in that case, the healing journey can become very, very deep and very intense. And what you're describing, I have seen many people go through that. And I think the important thing is not to get discouraged. The likelihood is that Nora and all the other people who are going through this are healing at the multidimensional levels. So earlier on we talked a little bit about the human having many aspects to them. So we have the physical body, we have the energy bodies that need healing, we have the emotional body, we have the mental body with all our beliefs and thought forms and value systems and so on. But then we also have the spirit, the soul, that has things that need to heal also. And then we might have some past life issues. Usually we do carry things from other lives, and then we carry things from our ancestors. So it can go on and on and on. And in fact, if you go a little bit more cosmic than that, you know, some people feel that we are not just in one universe, that there are many universes, so there are selves or parts of ourselves that are in other universes, or that there are many parallel realities, so there are, we are in this parallel now, but there are other selves in other parallels who are experiencing something slightly similar. And so when you are accessing that depth of healing, what is required to heal it is a multidimensional tool. And I know I'm going to blow my trumpet a little bit here, but Divine Healing Master Key is one of these tools, and that's how we designed it, that it is a multidimensional tool, so it heals across all time, all space, all realities, all possible experiences that we've had that we don't even know we've had, or are having, or will have. And I think that that's what's required at that level. And a lot of the things that Nora is describing, well, I don't know all of them, but for example, EFT is more about reprogramming the mind now. It's not so much dealing about other lifetimes or the ancestors or things like that. So all of these techniques are fantastic, and they all have applications. But I think in a situation like that, you need a tool that's going to be multidimensional, that's going to go across all board.
Great. Great, that helps, Nora. Great question, and fantastic answer, Amira. Well, we've come to the, or nearly to the end of our hour, Amira, and yeah, this, it's been quite a journey. You know, I actually caught myself on so many different occasions wanting to actually explore so many different aspects of what you were saying. And yeah, I know people on the call as well would have been right there with me just as we explored the different terrain. And I guess it is such a diverse and interesting and fascinating terrain as well, but that we literally could just have a whole series of talks just exploring healing just in and of itself. So I just really wanted to say thank you for sharing the deep insights that you have this evening. And for people who are at home and would love to know more about your work, I was just wondering if you could share how people can find out more out about the different healing work that you do, and also the many other fascinating facets of your work.
Well, we have a website, which is called centerforconsciousascension.net, and center is written the American way, C-E-N-T-E-R, just to confuse everyone. And on our website, it describes all the things that myself and my business partner Nicholas do, and we offer lots of healing and enlightening tools and workshops and trainings. So if anyone has interest in that, then that would be a good resource. I'm also planning to run a Divine Healing Master Key course at the end of May, and that's close to London, so that'll be the 22nd to the 24th of May. And if anyone was listening and would like to email me, I'd be more than happy to answer your questions and connect with you through the email.
And now, is your course, is it designed for people healing their own life, or is it like a combination of doing the personal healing and then possibly offering that healing to others?
It's a course for both types of people. It's for some people take the course because they want to heal themselves. So, for example, I had one lady who came quite recently. She had adrenal problems and she was exhausted all the time and so on and so forth. And after doing the training, and she said to me very quickly she got better. She only did about an hour of healing on herself a week. And got better from that. And then many people come to the training because they're also practitioners and they want to incorporate it with the other healing and counseling tools that they have. And it's because it's a very flexible system, it sort of adapts, it's very adaptable to whatever other tools you have. So I have a lot of coaches who come to the training and use it in conjunction with coaching, or you can use it in conjunction with counseling, or you can use it in conjunction with other healing tools that you have. They don't clash, they just complement each other. I hope that answers the question. It's such an easy tool. That's the key thing I want to impart here. It's such an easy tool to learn, and everyone can learn it and everyone can use it. You don't have to be clairvoyant. You don't have to have any special skills. It's very easy and approachable.
Great. Awesome. Now, Almira, just in terms of the development of the whole study and system of divine healing, like, is there work in development as well that you're currently working on for the system?
Well, what happened is the Divine Healing Master Key started to come through myself and my two other colleagues about 4 years ago, and initially we thought it was just going to be one manual. But then we wrote the first manual, and we very quickly discovered that there was a second manual coming through, and then a third one came through, and then a fourth one came through. And when the fourth one came through, it started to feel like it was complete. And but obviously things evolve, and so what we've been doing in the last 6 months to a year was we've been updating level one and two. Because of course we've learned a lot over the years, and from working with many people you learn. So we've been updating the manuals and simplifying them and so on. But there doesn't seem to be a level five that wants to come through, or not as yet anyway. But you never know. But as it stands, there are four levels to the work. But each level is complete in and of itself, in the sense that you don't need to have done the four levels to heal yourself or heal others. You can you can heal yourself straight away after the first module.
Great. Fantastic, Almira. Well, I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you wholeheartedly for coming back on the show and just being on this explorative call this evening. Healing is a very diverse area, and I just really love the awareness that you bring to all of your work, and I guess the real bringing together of two like seemingly disparate worlds for many people. Like, you have an amazing ability to join dots that many people are unable to do. So I just really want to thank you and to acknowledge you for the incredible work that you do in the world, and thanks so much on behalf of everyone this evening.
Thank you so much, Damien, for having me. I just want to say, for me, being able to share my work and my experience is such a joy. And if I can serve anyone with my experience and with my gifts, then my heart is full and I feel fulfilled. So thank you so much. And I want to say a big thank you also to everyone who's been listening tonight and who will in the future. Thank you so much.
Right. And was there any final words that you wanted to share with people, Almira, on the healing journey and how to navigate it?
Oh, the last thing I'd like to say is for everyone to have hope, because life on earth can be sometimes painful and difficult and challenging, and sometimes we lose sight of that childlike part of us who hopes and dreams and knows that there is better life, there's a better future. And if there's one thing I'd like to share with everyone, is a message of hope, that there is hope for every single one of us, that we are all beautiful beings with immense potential and capacity and gifts, and those gifts are so waiting to shine, and they can shine. they can shine, and not to give up, just to let yourself follow your heart and let your gifts shine through.
Beautiful. Fantastic words to close on, Elmira, and I just want to echo those statements as well. The fact that people at home tune into the program, whether this is your first time or whether you've been on the People You Should Meet program for a while, it's like an absolute pleasure for us to serve you in this way. And yeah, you all are incredible human beings, and what we do is encourage you all to not be afraid of it, just to jump out there and share the things that you have to offer. Now, for those of you on the call who would love to listen to this recording again, as I will be doing, it will be made available for free on the People You Should Meet website tomorrow morning. Now, this also gives you a great opportunity to share the material if you feel that it will inspire a friend, a loved one, a relative, a work colleague. So please do take that step forward and share this material liberally. Like all the recordings that we've done through the People You Should Meet program over the last 2 years are available on the website for free, so certainly don't be shy in taking that first step forward to share them with people that you care about. Great, so that literally brings us to the end of the call, and once again I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thanks, Elmira, and thank you everyone at home.
Thank you. Thank you, Damien, and good night everyone.
Good night everyone.